Now, Dr. Michael Adams is an Associate Professor of Human Geography at the University of Wollongong, my old uni, and he's also the winner of this year's prestigious Calibre Essay Prize presented by the Australian Book Review. Now, Michael's essay, Salt Blood, describes the quite ancient practice of freediving or breath-hold diving and how pursuing this path has revealed new ways of understanding loss and trauma in his life. It's a fascinating, very, very moving work, and I'm delighted to have Michael on the line. Michael, good morning.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, let's talk a little bit about the practice of freediving, because it's got quite a history to it.
Sure. So it's probably as old as humans. We know from archaeological evidence in coastal communities all over the world have dived for deep water marine species. And that practice continues today in a whole series of different places around the world, including Aboriginal people here.
Now, when did you start getting involved or interested in it?
So I've been a sort of a casual spearfisher, just, you know, catching fish for food for a long time. But about 3 years ago, my son and I went to Bali and trained in a freedive school, which was my first encounter with the kind of modern formal structures of freediving.
What sort of training are we talking about?
There's a boom in interest in freedive around the world, and what I've trained now in a number of different places, but principally what you do is learn to understand the physiology of the body, like what happens when you don't breathe for a long time, work on yoga to some extent for breath control, as well as the flexibility of your rib cage and other parts of your body under pressure when you're deep underwater, and then diving itself in a whole, you know, graduated sequence.
And when you talk about not breathing for a long time, I mean, some context, how long are you holding your breath for?
If I asked you to hold your breath now, you'd probably last about a minute.
But with
a couple of hours training, a good freedive instructor would get you to close to 4 minutes. And I've done about 4.5, and the record sits at somewhere around 11.
11 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. So when did you realise that this was having a very profound sort of, I don't want to say spiritual in that way, but when did you realise that this was having a liberating kind of experience for you?
It was pretty early on that, you know, we were repeatedly diving. You come out of the water. It's quite an interesting group of people who choose to free dive, because in many respects it's a very unmacho activity. You have to be very relaxed and loose and calm in your body. And, you know, at the end of a couple of days of doing that, I was just feeling, you know, completely serene. And I was really puzzling about why that was the case, because there's an element in free diving which is actually quite dangerous. You know, you're deep underwater. Like when you are deep underwater, all you have to do is let out all the air in your lungs, and then, you know, you're soon going to be in serious trouble.
I guess what I'm asking is, when did it start transforming your life?
I suppose it was gradual, but I guess the key event for me was diving in Hawaii with a very famous diver called Carlos Isles, who's 75. And Carlos operates sort of outside all of the modern structures of free diving. He doesn't talk to you about safety. He said to me, the ocean is not a linear system. So the idea of measuring, for instance, your breath hold or your depth, he's totally disinterested in.
So he's doing it very raw, very, very, as people would have been doing it on the island for centuries.
Exactly. It's just about feeling it sort of emotionally through your body rather than, you know, working on calculations and looking at your dive watch and all those kinds of things.
So it's just you in the ocean diving down. I mean, the sounds must be remarkable.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like when your head is above water, you hear, you know, the kind of everyday activities, the vehicles, the people talking, the, you know, those kinds of things. And then you put your head underwater, you can still hear a little bit of that, but it's muted. And then you hear the sounds of sea creatures. So you hear a funny kind of a crackle, which most people think is in their ears, but is actually little crustaceans. But then as you go deeper and deeper, it just gets quieter and quieter.
And the pressure must be noticeable as well.
Not so much. You do. It is in your ears, so you need to equalise that, which is a challenge for many people, including me. But once you deal with that, even when, like, my son has dived to 40 metres, which is 5 atmospheres of pressure, and you don't feel the weight of it, but it is nevertheless a potential considerable risk.
There must be something magical about coming back up, almost euphoric.
It's a mix, because in some senses the euphoria is when you're down there, but it is also euphoric coming back up. But when you come back up, you're back in the everyday world. When you're underwater, you're a long way away from all of that.
So how do you think this experience has helped you come to terms with loss and trauma?
So for me, it was starting to think about death. And, once I started to actually research free diving and talk to divers, because I was thinking myself all the time about how close you're putting yourself to death and this sort of strange experience of how serene and blissful it was. But many free divers that I spoke to said, oh, no, we never think about death. That's not what it's about at all. But it very much was for me. And at the same time that I was researching all this, I saw for the first time ever my father's death certificate. My father had killed himself when I was 14, and I didn't really have any information about that. But when I saw that that sort of formal document in the time I was attempting to write this, it just brought the notion of death much more thoroughly into my thinking. And so then I started working through what my emotions and thinking in freedive had been in relation to the loss in my own life and how I might be able to make sense of that.
Do you think that's kind of a factor of how disconnected we are as a society from death?
Totally. We just push it away. Like, all living things die and all living things survive from the deaths of other things, but we don't want to know about it. Like, I spend an awful lot of time in the bush and I spend a lot of time with Indigenous people. And, in those situations, death is just everywhere and just normal. It's the complement of life. And in our modern society, we don't want to know about that.
Michael, we will have to leave it there, but thank you so much for your time this morning.
Great to talk to you, Nick. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Michael Adams there from Wollongong University, also the winner of the 2017 Calibre Essay Prize. His essay, Salt Blood, you can find in the June-July edition of the Australian Book Review. Obviously, don't go and try freediving without proper training and supervision, as Michael was saying. And of course, if the chat raised any concerns with you, remember Lifeline is available on 13 11 14.